This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So first off, we need to understand that it doesn't necessarily mean that we automatically know how to pray. But Jesus had to teach the disciples how to pray and how not to pray. Now, the first thing we notice about the scripture in this passage is that it came to pass that when who was praying? Jesus was praying in a certain place. So Jesus had withdrawn himself and was praying unto the Father. And as he was praying, I'm pretty sure that you have to understand that prayer is not just a monologue. It is a dialogue. That when you're praying unto God, God is also dropping down things into your spirit. You need to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Many of us, when we come to God in prayer, it's all about our need. Our wish list is already lined up. The things that we want God to do. And as soon as we get through going through that list, we're up and we're gone. But we may not even receive the instruction of what God wants us to do and how to get those things accomplished on the things that we want. We want God to do everything for us. But God has given you power and given God you authority and has placed you in the earth to be the police, I could say, over the earth concerning the things that happen. Let's talk about when we should pray. In Psalms chapter 5, verse 1, it says, give ear unto my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. I will look up. Prayer is something that the first thing in the morning you need to do is you need to communicate with God. You need to get your marching orders. You need to get your instructions. Say, well, look at it on a natural level. How many of you work in an office somewhere? Most of the time, before you get started, they're going to have a meeting. They're going to sit down. They're going to tell you what it is that they're trying to accomplish and what they want to do. They're going to give you some instruction for that day, especially if something new's come down the pike. Maybe they only do it once a week in some places. But you have meetings in order to get established on what it is that you want to do. Well, when you start seeking God in the morning and make it more than just a monologue, but make it a time that you spend with God in prayer, God also begins to download in your spirit things that are going to be needful for you for that day. And those things that you have, I said, they're downloaded in your spirit. You may not have the revelation of it at that moment. But at that time when you approach, the Holy Spirit will give unto you the words that you will have to say. And he will be able to feed back into your life. How many ever had one of those divine moments where you were faced with a situation and God gave you the right wisdom for the right time to speak to that person? I mean, it was like, you know, it was just God gave it to you right there. It wasn't because of your vast study and all this other stuff. God dropped down what was called a word in due season. In Psalms 143:8, it says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Now, the first part of it says, cause me to what? To hear. That means it takes a part of us that needs to listen unto the Spirit of God. When we're praying, are we really listening or are we just busy talking? See, you need to make your request made known unto God, but you also need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And that's going to have you to spend some time. That means you may have to get up earlier than what you get up right now. Because when you get up, you're on a schedule. You got to get up. You got to get the kids fed. You got to get dressed. You got to get showered. You got to get ready for work, and you grabbing a cup of coffee and a bagel and running out of the door. And the devil wants to keep you so busy like that, that you say, I don't have time to pray. Well, really, you don't have time not to pray. Because you're running out of the house without prayer, you're on your own. You don't know what things you're going to encounter, what things are going to be hitting your life. You're going to be responding to stuff and reacting to stuff. You're not even going to be prepared. But when you pray in the morning, God anoints you. And there's something that comes over your life that will help you throughout the day. So I want you to start establishing, if you got to get up a half hour earlier than what you do, set aside that time to seek God's face. Prayer is more than just petitioning. Prayer and praise goes together. And we're going to see that in a moment. In Psalms 1, let me go on down to verse 9 in that verse. It says, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I fled unto thee. Hide me. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of righteousness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. Now, when they're praying not just a petition here. Lead me, Lord. Hide me from my enemies. Give me direction on the way you would have me to go. And by you praying this prayer or praying a similar prayer, not this perfunctory prayer, but you can pray this if you want to, but you're asking God to direct your steps. And he will. It's when we don't have time for prayer and we think we got it together and we go on our own that we get hit with this from the blind side and with that from the blind side. And now we're all fluttered and frustrated throughout the day. And then we go to God in prayer. In a frustrated prayer. If we just take the time to listen, then God can reveal the secrets that he wants us for that day. I'll give you an example. You remember Martha and Mary when Jesus came to her house? Martha was so busy trying to get the things together and to serve and while Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And by the time Martha did come to Christ, she was all upset. Why don't you tell her to get up and help me? See, I'm trying to serve all these people by myself. And she's sitting here. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and concerned about many things, but Mary has chosen the better part. It's always better to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what he has to say. Someone said if Martha had just sat down and listened, Jesus could have told her how to fix a buffet and let people serve themselves instead of trying to serve everybody. She would have had time to spend with the Lord. We try to do too much without the instruction of God. Psalms 55:17 says, evening and morning at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And he shall hear my voice. Isn't that wonderful? When you pray unto God, God hears you. Do you believe that God hears you when you pray? Do you really believe that God hears you when you pray? Some of us just pray and we don't know if God really heard us. Because we get up, well, I hope he will. We're not sure if God's going to deliver us. We're not sure. But see, we have to be sure that when we pray, God hears us. Now, the only thing you need to do to make sure that God hears you is that if there's some junk and stuff going on in your life, repent. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not dull that he does not hear, but our sin will separate us. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. You don't have to stay with that blockage. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, plug you right back into the source, and you can move on with God, and God hears you. And God will forgive you, and God will prosper you. Luke 11, chapter 2. I mean, verse 2. We read verse 1 already. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day by day our daily bread. And forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Prayer has to do with a couple of things. Prayer is asking, seeking, knocking, and receiving. Here in this prayer, when they said, Lord, teach us how to pray, he said, the first thing you need to do is honor your Father, which is in heaven. How many of you know that God is your Father? Huh? And that he loves you. And he wants his best for you. That it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That he is not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. He's trying to bless you with every promise that he had in his word. So when we approach God, knowing that God loves us, knowing that he cares for us, knowing that he wants us to receive his best, we can pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's no other name above the name of Jesus. There's no other name that we can be saved by. That name is hallowed and is sanctified. And the way you give God the Father honor is by honoring the Son. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. Teach me how to pray. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, even so on earth. That means that when we're praying, we're establishing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. The kingdom of heaven comes not with observation, but the kingdom of heaven dwells on the inside of you. And when you establish God's word as being the final authority and God's promises as being true, you establish the kingdom of God in your life. And when you speak out of a surety of heart that what you speak in the word of God will come to pass. You speak it because God said it. See, too many times the enemy has hit you with condemnation and tell you you're not worthy. Who are you? You can't get a prayer through. You need to go talk to the pastor. You need to call up the radio or TV evangelist. You need to write somebody and get some special oil or get a handkerchief. You need some help. Because look at you. Look at your life. Who are you? We read this morning about there were two that was in the synagogue. A Pharisee and a publican, which was a tax collector. One was self-righteous, one was humble. The self-righteous brought condemnation upon the one who was lesser than him. So we don't have to walk in condemnation. All we have to do is say, Lord, have mercy on me. And he will. But the enemy wants to keep reminding you of your past, telling you how inefficient you are. When the scriptures tell us that we can do all things through Christ and that nothing shall be impossible unto them that believe. So prayer is asking, seeking, knocking, and receiving. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9, it says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, somebody say everyone. Everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. Now, with that thought as being a fact, a sure thing, how long do you seek? How long do you knock? Until the door is open. Because everyone that asks, somebody say everyone, that asks, in faith, receives. Everyone that seeks, because you may be seeking an answer to something. You may be trying to find out where it is. Everyone that seeks shall find. And when you come to a door that's closed and what you want is on the other side, when you knock, it shall be open. And you will receive that desired result. He said, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and him that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. Matthew chapter 6 and 5 is similar to with this, but it's telling us how not to pray. He said, and thou, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. See, they're kind of like the Pharisee that was in the temple, because the Bible said he prayed unto himself. There are some people that want you to think that they're super spiritual because they're always praying for people. But really they're not praying trying to touch heaven and change earth. They're praying to gain the accolades of men so people think they deep. They're praying to be seen of men. Now, my pastor used to tell me, nobody should pray to be seen, but everybody should be seen praying. It's the motive, not the action. What is the motive? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with you laying hands on a brother praying on the street corner. That's nothing wrong at all. But the motive of what you do is so important with God. The conditioning of the heart. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray thy Father. Pray unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is seeth in secret shall reward you openly. God has promised in every verse that if you seek him, you'll find him. If you knock, it's going to be open. If you pray in secret, he's going to reward you openly. What does that mean, pray in secret? What do you mean go in the closet back there and shut the door? There's just some things that need to stay between you and God. Some things that you don't need to voice audibly to everybody. Some things are just private between you and God. You can't tell everybody your faults, because everybody don't have your best interest at heart. Some things you have to take to God direct. Some things you need God to work out, because only God can fix it. I remember when Hannah, which was the mother of Samuel, she went to the temple to pray. She had been barren. And her husband's other wife was mocking her every time they go into the temple because she had kids. Well, it got to the point that Hannah went and she prayed before God in the temple. And she was praying a meditated prayer in her heart. Her lips were moving, but there was no sound coming out. And Eli mocked her and called her a daughter of Belial because he thought she was drunk. She said, hold up, I'm not drunk. But there's an issue in my heart. And see, some things only God needs to know about. Some things only God knows. And when you pray the secret of your heart, God will reward you openly. And she made a vow unto God for her son, Samuel, who was born to become one of the greatest prophets in the land. Whenever Samuel came to town, the Bible said not one of his words ever fell to the ground. Whatever he prophesied, it came to pass. Because this mother, who prayed secretly, God blessed her and rewarded her openly. Now, when we're praying, we're supposed to forgive one another. Is that correct? One of the reasons we don't get a prayer through is because we still got junk and stuff in our hearts. That husband who walked off and left you with those kids. That one who betrayed you on the job. The one who hurt you and inflicts you with a pain and a wound that you say, I'll never forgive him. And it could be something very deep. You might have lost a child. You might have, there's certain things that people are still angry with God about that they won't go to God with. They're in the room, but they still got this thing in their hearts. Well, the Bible said forgive. And as we forgive others, God also forgives us. And so one of the things that he told us, that when you come to the altar to present your gift, leave your gift at the altar. If you have aught against your brother, go and make amends with your brother. Then come back and present your gift unto God. See, God is really big about us loving one another as he loves us. He's really big about showing mercy to those. And as we show mercy to others, God will have mercy on us. You know, how much forgiveness do you want from God? That's how much you need to show to your brother. How much compassion do you want God to show towards you? That's how much you need to show to your fellow man. How much do you want God to hold against you? Nothing. Well, you got to release everybody. The Bible calls them debtors. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Those who owe us monetarily and those who have offended us and inflicted pain that we hold in unforgiveness, we need to release. See, unforgiveness, you holding someone in unforgiveness doesn't hold power over that individual. It keeps you in bondage. Because the Bible goes as far as say that if you don't forgive men of their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of your trespasses. So you see how dangerous harboring unforgiveness can be? Very dangerous. It could cost you very salvation. Now we need to learn how to also to pray with authority. Remember I said there's a lot of ways that we pray. There's supplication. There's petitioning unto God. There's those who mourn and weep at the altar. I mean, when those kids got shot, we should have called for the mourning women, called for the weeping women. This altar should have been filled as we repent and for the murders and stuff that took place in our land as we cried unto God, asking God to bring comfort and peace unto those families that were bereaved because of this heinous crime that took place. But there's also a time that we need to get up and straighten up our backs, lift up our heads, exercise our kingly authority, and bind that murdering spirit that's going forth. Praying with authority, we find that in Mark chapter 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, talking about Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came happily that he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter evermore. And his disciples heard it. Verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree that thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Or have the God kind of faith that will make a decree, that will declare a thing and it be established unto you. Ask in faith. Not just have faith in God's ability, because we know God has the ability, but have the God kind of faith to operate on the same level that God does. So no, Pastor, I can't operate on that level. Why not? He told you to. He said, the words that the Father given me, I have given you. It's the same words. He said, in my name you will cast out devils. What else did he say here? He said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Now, he didn't say pray unto the mountain. You pray to God. Obstacles come in your way, you exercise your voice of authority and command, and you declare and you decree, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believeth that those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. The condition is, do you believe it? Do you believe in your heart? That when you cast out a devil, when you believe in your heart, when you lay hands on someone who has a sickness, that they're going to be healed. When you believe in your heart, if you believe that based on God's word, because this is based on God's word, when you believe that, it shall come to pass. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. How many things? What kind of things? Whatsoever. So God's word will work for you in every situation. You have to believe. Now, seeing, somebody say seeing, is not believing. Somebody didn't say seeing is not believing. But believing will bring forth seeing. In other words, you got to call those things that be not before they are. The mountain ain't gone yet, but you still got to speak to it. And as you continue to speak to it and utter it and confirm it in your heart, it shall be moved. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. We need to pray in boldness. Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, that bold does not mean brash or rude. It means knowing that you have been, that you have an audience with God and you have the permission of God to come into the very presence of God to make a petition of God, and God has the scepter held out to you. In other words, you have an audience with the King. And God will do according to your faith unto you. We know many times we see in the scripture, when the woman that had the issue of blood tested him of his garment, it turned around and said, according to your faith. It was your faith that made you whole. It was what you believed. So as we talk about prayer, we cannot talk about prayer without first examining your faith. So we're not just praying religious prayers. We're saying things, but do we really believe what we're saying? Are we praying with the effectiveness that God wants us to? So over a period of time, we're not going to examine all this today, but we're on the endeavor of building a foundation of prayer warriors, men and women, that will take time out to come and to examine the many aspects of prayer. And some will be designated as to prayer warriors. Some will be designated as to intercessors. Some will be those who will make supplication. That's your gift. That's your anointing. That's where you stand. The prayer warrior won't exalt himself over the ones who's making supplication by weeping at the altar. No, you're not better because you're calling down fire from heaven. And those who are interceding, of course, I call the intercessors the most powerful people on the planet. Because when you intercede for somebody, you can really hold back judgment, hold back the hand of God. God said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap to make of the hedge that I might not destroy the nation. If you stand there and stand in the gap, you can hold back judgments and give some folks time to get saved as we intercede, touching and agreeing. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that you ask, it shall be done. So we'll exercise the gift or the prayer of intercession. Because this ministry needs every aspect of prayer in order for us to grow and become the spiritual house of worship that God wants us to be.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service times at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
I want everyone to mark their calendar for Thursday, May 7th. The National Day of Prayer was instituted under President Reagan, and it is observed on the first Thursday of May every year. Put May 7th on the calendar at 6 p.m. at the Mid-Florida Event Center in Port St. Lucie to come together with their families, with their children, with their neighbors to join us for the National Day of Prayer by taking time out of their schedules and making it a point to be here on May 7th.